This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
Welcome to your weekly fix of international LGBTI news and current affairs for the LGBTI community. We take you around the globe one country at a time. Big thank you to JJ for the hits and Richard for the latest in local news. Tonight, little team here. Paul's here.
Hello.
My name's Matt. The studio will shortly be filled, though. Leaving all the supports and familiarities of your home country to go to a new one is hard enough. But when you add being a sexual minority to being an ethnic minority, the challenges really start to multiply. And for many years, being gay and Asian has attracted particularly hurtful sexual racism from within the LGBTI community. Tonight, we explore gay Asian Australians. Is the term Gaysian one of affection or offence? How do we go about beating sexual racism? And what can we learn from Melbourne's gay Asian community? Circling the chairs to discuss all things Asian, tonight we're joined in the studio by Aslan and James from the must-see midsummer show Queer Asians Anonymous. And to get you into a Gaysian frame of mind, let's take you back to a former Worldwide Wave guest, Benjamin Law, author of the book Gaysia, Adventures in the Queer East, to hear how that name came about. Where does the term Gaysian come from?
Look, I mean, for as long as I can remember, my friends have been calling me gay and Asian. They think it's just too many minorities in one, so the most convenient portmanteau is just to slam them together, I guess. Gaysian, it's a minority within a minority. It's a delicious dessert. I think a lot of gay Asian people will have this hurled at them because it just seems to go together so well. So it started off as a joke between my friends, but then as I was writing the book, I realised actually it's not a bad book title either.
Hi, this is Robin Tyler, and I am a producer, I'm an activist, I'm a comic, and I'm also legally married to my wife, Diane Olson, for over 7 years on the World Wide Wave.
We'll be right back.
that was Angoon with, well, the English is Snow on the Sahara. But that was
You're not going to say it in Indonesian?
It's French.
French, right. Okay.
You were listening very carefully, weren't you?
I was busy. It's Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show. You can send us a message on 0427JOY949 or on Facebook. Bit of action on Facebook during the week, actually, with this story. The US Vice President's wife is teaching at a school that bans LGBTI students. Needless to say, our followers didn't think that was all that special. Richard says, surprise factor zero. Kevin's just given it a big thumbs down. He's since come out, since this story first broke, and said that he's offended and, you know, this is people having a go at him. And, well, yeah.
I thought you just said that Mike Pence had just come out.
Yeah. Now, that'll be top of the hour news. I'm not quite sure we want him in our club. Tonight, we are talking all things gay and Asian, or queer and Asian. Queer Asians Anonymous, which is one of the fantastic shows in this year's Midsummer Festival. And joining us in the studio, we have Aslan. Hello, Aslan.
Hello.
And James is here as well.
Hello, hello, hello.
Now, let's start with how this play came about. Aslan?
A lot of it is actually based on my own personal experience, but a lot of it also is from conversations that I had with other gay Asian men in Melbourne, and also with queer men of color as well. And I also did a bit of research as well. So all of this just like bubbling in my head. And what happened was actually I worked in anti-racism for a little bit, and I just decided that last year I wanted to try something different. Like a way to talk about these issues, you know, through the stage.
And is your background as a writer or as a director, or you just thought, hey, I'll give this a crack?
Yeah, I just give it a crack. Well, I had some experience writing way before, so yeah. And I've done some acting as well. So yeah, just try to combine all of that experience together and just, yeah. Try to produce a play.
And this is your first show?
Yes, play? It is. Great. So we did a play reading for Fringe. So from that, from people's response and the work from there, we just moved ahead to Midsummer.
Great. And James, how did you get involved?
I was part of the Fringe reading as well. I suppose from that point, in auditioning and meeting Aslan and all that, and talking about all the issues, I just was really interested in this kind of story and the issues that we don't really get to see in theatre. So yeah,
how much of this is an acting gig as opposed to something that you've had personal experience with?
It's a bit of both, actually. So I finished drama school not so long ago, about a year and a half ago, I guess experience, yeah, definitely. I'm not on Grindr or anything like that, but in the instances that I have been, I've definitely experienced those kind of things where, you know, rejection just because the way they look, I guess the way that behave. You know, those kind of things, especially, I guess, my skin colour, you know, yeah.
Mm. We're going to explore that a bit more. Tell us the term Gaysian, which we've had Benjamin Law on here before, and is that a term that you like or hate, or is that offensive, or is it? Do you own it?
I don't like it myself.
You don't like it? No?
No, neither do I.
No. What is it about it you don't like? Is it the fact that it's a label, full stop?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Just, I don't know. What do you think, James?
Well, just like me for me, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it, okay, your show is Gay Asians Anonymous. Is it wrong to put all Asian communities together? I mean, obviously there's going to be differences between different parts of Asia and different experiences.
Well, I guess terms keeps changing over years, yeah. So I think maybe before this, people were a lot more comfortable calling themselves gay Asian, but now there's a bigger umbrella term, queer. So anybody under that can fit under that. So they could be gay, they could be bi, they could be whatever. So it's under the queer. So it's actually more inclusive to use queer rather than gay. That's how I see it. Yeah.
And in terms of creating this play, how much of your life have you drawn on in the play?
a fair bit. And I think that's why actually when we decided to do the play, I actually decided to base as a collective. So we're calling ourselves the Queer Asian Theater Project. And when I interviewed James and other people in the cast, it was really important to make sure that they understand the material and they'd also draw from their own life experience, because the whole point as well is not only to get the story out there, but to make sure that the people who are, you know, speaking to stories are authentic, that they are a part of the stories too. So we are continually looking for people who want to get involved to share their stories on stage, because another issue also is representation, and there hasn't been a lot of representation for queer Asian performers as well. So this is a chance to do that.
Do you have, from within your cast, do you have representation across different Asian communities?
Yep, we tried to do that. So there's Pakistani, there's Thai, there's Vietnamese, Cambodian, Malaysian, Filipino.
Wow, great coverage. Yep. James, as an actor...
James is from Hong Kong.
From Hong Kong, lovely. Yeah. Dealing with the other actors, are you seeing the same things that they are? Or are they, do they come at this with different experiences to you?
In regards to, I suppose, as a performer or as...
Probably more about the themes of the show? As a performer even too?
I suppose, like, I think it's all relatable. All the stories that we have on the table at this very moment, I think everyone in the cast has had an experience personally with this kind of hierarchical thing in this dating world. With regards to acting, I suppose... I don't know what to say. Everyone's at different stages, but I think it's actually really, really good for me to step in into this environment and just kind of like, you know, go with the flow. Usually, I guess, in more of a acting world, it's like everything's kind of like curated. There's this particular way of doing it, but because everyone's from different levels, I believe in all of them, and I think the relation is the relatability of the content that really brings out everyone and kind of the best, hopefully, you know? Yeah.
And that idea of a collective and being able to contribute, is that a bit different to what you, like you just sort of said that you normally directed? This sort of sounds like you can... add value to the play.
Yeah, I think so. It's kind of getting them to explore, I guess, vulnerable sides of them and just going for something that's just out of their head, using the physicality to create the world that we're trying to bring. So, yeah.
Well, we're going to come back and talk a bit more about the issues that you tackle in the play. The play is Queer Asians Anonymous. We're with Aslan and James on Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
It's William calling from Wee Wee Blogs, and you are listening to Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9. Let's do this!
Times and the times get rough, when you feel it's all too much, my love. And that was Dami Im with Fighting for Love.
Of course it was. We love Dami. He was Korean by birth. Korean born. It's Worldwide Wave. Tonight we're talking all things queer, Asian and anonymous. Our guests Aslan and James are in the studio. The play, Queer Asians Anonymous, is it a comedy, a drama? How would you describe it?
I think we try to make it as like a dramedy.
A dramedy.
But our first play reading, I think people were saying it's drama with comedy elements. So we try to bring up the comic part a lot more this time around. So we'll see how it goes.
So the setting is something akin to an Alcoholics Anonymous type meeting. Is that the idea?
Well, it's a support group. I mean, you'll find out why the name Queer and Asian Anonymous comes about eventually. But in the beginning, it's just a support group for gay Asian men.
Right.
So, yeah.
Some of the issues that you are tackling, and I guess that you have tackled personally. So let's look at sexual racism for starters. Is that becoming less of an issue or more of an issue, do you think?
I think a while back it was a bigger issue because people were like blatantly writing on their profiles like no Asians or no curry, no rice, all that kind of stuff. And I think there's been obviously a lot of people commenting on that. So there's been a bit of a backlash. Even Grindr introduced this thing called Kinder or some sort where they...
Kinder?
Yeah. Which is a weird name. Where they're trying to say that, you know, they're not going to condone that kind of behavior anymore. So, but I think what's happening now is people are probably using a bit more coded terms like I like hairy men or I like guys who are rugby players. So they kind of find different ways to kind of like exclude,
soften it down.
Yeah, people who might not fit that, but they don't say it blatantly that way as well. Yeah.
Would you consider that a step ahead or it's just dodging?
It's good and bad. I don't know. It's like because I think people don't really understand what the issues are. They kind of feel like people are kind of like dictating who and what they should like, but that's not the point. It's more about having equal opportunity or equal access or to have the same kind of experience. But if you kind of feel that you're going online and you're already singled out, even not knowing who you are, just based on your ethnicity or cultural nationality, it's like, you know, there's no point getting involved in that.
James, is that something that you've had experience with yourself?
I guess so. How do I elaborate? Ask that again.
In terms of sexual racism, is that something that you've had to tackle yourself?
Yes, but it's been a little while, I suppose. I guess I've been in a relationship for a little while, so okay. I'm a little bit out of the whole thing. But I do feel that hopefully it is slightly getting better with those movements that Aslan just mentioned with, you know, Grindr, promoting Kinder and all that kind of stuff. But I guess from years back, I suppose, yeah, definitely. You know, as soon as someone texts you on those apps, and they ask for a photo and you show a photo and you're clearly obviously, oh, look at me, I'm Asian. You know, you get an instant block or, you know, no thanks, you know.
Which is pretty rude.
Yeah, pretty much.
One of the other issues that you tackle is racial stereotypes, which kind of sits into the same thing. What's the stereotype that irks you the most?
The usual. It's like passive, submissive, skinny,
bottoms, smooth, not well endowed.
Yeah, that part. Yeah, and people always assume that you're always submissive and bottoms and stuff like that. So and also there's like a certain kind of look that Asians have. Like people we've heard this thing like, oh, you're good looking for an Asian, all that kind of stuff. And oh, I never date Asians or never go for Asians, but you're different, you know, that kind of stuff.
So
and
somebody said that to you. How do you react? Other than wanting to hit them.
Well, this was probably a few years ago, so I didn't know how to respect. But in my head, I'm like, I don't know why you think that's a compliment. Because they think it's a compliment because for them, obviously, they think Asians are unattractive normally or whatever, you see. So for them to say you're hot for an Asian, it's like, yeah.
I think I'd turn that around and say, was that intended as a compliment? I mean, you're right. That's, yeah.
And it's not just with Asians. You know, other men of color have experienced certain different stereotypes as well. I had a good friend, he's black. And he's actually... He's a bottom. I'm sorry, I don't know. Sorry for telling
we just
whole,
no name.
Sorry for telling the whole world what you like. But he would get messages on Grindr, and everybody assumed that he's gonna have a huge appendage and taunt me, you know, like with your BBC, and he's not like that. So it's the opposite for black people as well. So it happens around, yeah. The only people that don't get stereotyped are white people, if you notice. So that's the kind of stuff that we're going to point out. Yeah, it's not fair.
So white privilege, what does that mean to you?
Well, for me, it's the same as like you were talking about, like straight privilege. Like we're homo, like, you know, people are gay, we know that there's straight privilege, yeah? Like this, the society is catered and centered for straight people. So in that sense, society has also been built for white folks as well. So there's a lot of benefits to being white in a white-dominated country, obviously. So that's how things turn out with racial preferences in that sense, because there's a lot of focus and prioritizing and celebrating white looks or Anglo looks, West Euro looks, compared to the others.
If is there even a difference too between the, and you may not, I don't know if your play sort of goes into this, but the difference in how somebody who's Asian and lesbian or trans or intersex, so outside of, let's say, gay white privilege, are there differences in the way gay Asians are treated? Do you think?
No, obviously there is. Mm-hmm. It's just that at this point, at this like I had mentioned before, previously as well, when we're talking about the project, like Creations Anonymous, this is like it's like a journey for ourselves as well. So the story is on a journey, and at this point, we're focusing on gay Asian men because that is actually the first experience that we experience. But moving along, we're hoping to have other voices and other experiences for the next story.
I think Aslan sees it as an evolving kind of project. Where he'd like to include those stories in at some point in the future as he continues to develop it over time.
I mean, if we were talking about like the civil rights, like the gay rights movement, I suppose, like we have all these different groups siloed, right? And so eventually they start coming together, but everybody has a journey of trying to build that collective within a group first and then trying to build alliances across the board. So that's what we're doing, this our first step.
One of the things, we speak to a lot of people around the world, there is, in some communities, there's an internalized homophobia, and we've spoken to many gay or queer Asians who've come to Australia to escape dealing with their sexuality in terms of their family, or to escape the issues that dealing with it brings.
Yeah.
Is that something that is comes up in the play at all?
Yeah. I mean, there are two Muslim characters as well in the play.
Right.
So they'll be discussing those issues as well. So I mean, talking about the issue where one person may be dealing with homophobia in his cultural, in his community, but then in the gay community might have to deal with Islamophobia, for example. So there's a lot of intersectionalities, obviously. And we also talk about internalized homophobia as well, because that's something that a lot of men in the gay community have to deal with as well. So that's another topic that's been we're talking about as well.
You sort of mentioned that you'd like to do more. This is is this something that started as a, hey, I'll do a play, and now it's just growing?
From our experiences, you know, and especially like in issues of dealing with marginalized communities, there's a lot of stories and experiences out there, and unfortunately not everyone's stories gets told. So we want to be able to do that as well. Like, we don't want to just talk about queer Asian men, you know. There are other people in our community as well. So if anybody's interested and wants their stories, we'll love to collaborate with them and work in the future.
our guests are Aslan and James from the Midsummer Show Queer Asians Anonymous. If you've got any questions, send us a message on 0427JOY949 or email us in the studio on air at joy.org.au. This is Worldwide Wave.
Hi, this is Anastasia from the Sabalt organization, Russia on the Worldwide Wave.
Top Dog with a Hot Shot, and that's actually a K-pop band that has a asexual member.
He came out just recently, didn't he?
Did.
And he was, if I recall, the first K-pop one to be publicly out and proud.
Out and proud asexual.
Asexual. That's okay. That's the LGBTIQAA++, all the other bits.
Yeah.
Worldwide Wave. Tonight we're looking at Queer Asians Anonymous. A message has come in on 0427JOY949 from Richard. Thanks, Richard. Loving tonight's show. It's important to hear how our community treats different LGBTIQ people of different cultures. See the person, not the stereotype. Love it. Send us your messages on 0427JOY949 or on air at joy.org.au. Now we're talking all things Midsummer. The show is Queer Asians Anonymous. Aslan, it's not just about personal experiences, though. This is this show's got a bit of research behind us, hasn't it? Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was a bit of a grad student, so I was doing a lot of journal articles, researching, and a lot of the stuff came up. So there's actually a very well-known researcher, Damien Riggs, and he actually wrote something about anti-Asian sentiments amongst a sample of white Australian men on Gaydar. So it's pretty local. Like, you know, I've actually get experiences from people from Australia itself, because a lot of stuff actually comes from the US and stuff, but I also pretty picked out research Australian base.
Is it something that you think Australia is worse at? Australia is, let's call it, Australia is more racist?
That's a lot of stuff to unpack. I don't think you have time for that.
Is it something that you want Australians... How do you want Australians to react when they see the show? White Australians.
I think a lot of the issues is that when we talk about this kind of sexual racism stuff is that people kind of dismiss it because they kind of think it's like really, it's not really a big deal. But it actually is. It's a big deal. I mean, like, it's not just a one-off message that you get, or it's just one brush-off at a club or whatever. It's like something that happens a lot of the times, cumulatively as well. Mm-hmm. So it kind of builds up, yeah? And it's not just this one occasion. It's also reinforced by other stuff that happens outside as well. I mean, you have those issues that you were talking about, the racist stuff that do happen in Australian politics or whatever. So it's all of those elements, and it kind of does affect...
They start to combine and become a snowball.
Yeah.
James, you mentioned about being fetishized. What's your experience there?
When we're discussing the other spectrum, it just came up to me and I realized, on your everyday kind of, going out, going to the clubs, you know, you generally see the older white male look at you, stare at you, and it's not a vibe that feels good. It's as if, like, maybe they want me just because I'm, I don't know, and maybe they presume that I'm an easy piece of meat. I don't know. So
nothing even has to be said. It's a look.
Yeah, it's a look. But of course, like, maybe if I take that away and, you know, engage in a conversation, I've had, I guess, some experiences in, I guess, being presumed to be, you know, quiet and, which I'm not. I'm really loud.
Well, you have to have a certain amount.
Exactly. So, I've definitely had that. And even at work sometimes, it's like I'm working, you know, doing my day job, and you get these kind of looks, and they, you know, it's just uncomfortable sometimes. Yeah. So
one of the ways, as Len, you've sort of tackled this is to upend the token character. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah. So normally, like on TV or on stage, you have a lot, like all the casts could be white, and they might have one token black or brown person. So with this play, all of our casts are Asians, except we do have one token white character.
And how does the token white character react to being the token element? Or is that to be found out by...
But a lot of, like, but the most simplest ones, like a lot of white gay men sometimes are oblivious to their own shortcomings, so that's what happens as well. So he may not realize what he's doing, so yeah.
And I guess that's what the play is trying to shine a light on?
Yeah.
It's being held, so it's a part of the Midsummer's got a very large program in Western Melbourne, which is fantastic to see. It's being held in Footscray,
yes,
which has a very large Asian population, and great restaurants. Who's the audience for the show? Do you want gay Asians to come? Do you want white Asian gay guys to come? Who's your audience? Is it broader than the gay community?
I guess I wanted to say that I think it's also quite rare that we do actually, like, people of color trying to create content for other people of color as well. So I think that was the first objective, was to actually create a story about us for us. And obviously we welcome white audience, of course. Because they're part of a larger community. But I think initially it was to kind of draw out the queer Asians that may not feel comfortable being in other white-dominated spaces. So I think it was a very conscious decision to try to set the stage at Footscray because of that. We welcome anybody to come, obviously. Yeah.
And you've had good support from the local council and like people want to have the show there.
Yeah, this is the second time we're doing it at Footscray Community Arts, so yeah.
Great. What's your recommendation, your advice to a queer Asian person who might sort of think they're you know, having some troubles, not quite fitting in? James, perhaps you first.
Just be yourself.
Just be yourself.
And love yourself. And don't be afraid to be yourself, really.
Well, come watch this show, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we're trying to cover all the different experiences. So we've got characters as international students. We've got people who are migrants. We've got people who are Asian Australian. So we're trying to cover all of their experiences in the story. So, yeah. If anybody from that background don't feel like they fit in, well, come to a story. We're actually sharing your story on stage.
And even if they can't see themselves there, it'll be in your next show, which will be...
Hopefully, of course.
The show is Queer Asians Anonymous. It runs from the 4th, Monday the 4th to Saturday the 9th of February at the Footscray Community Arts Centre, 45 Moreland Road at Footscray.
You can imagine. Yeah, you can get tickets on the Midsummer website. And also we have a special promo as well, like 25% off.
Ooh, special deal.
Yeah, so you just put the promo code of Queer Asians 25 at the checkout.
Queer Asians 25. We'll post that on our Facebook page. Midsummer.org.au is the place to get tickets. For Aslan, good luck with the show. James, good luck on stage.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And look forward to seeing you as a part of Midsummer 2019. Now, before we go, just did want to mention something on our Facebook page. So we post lots and lots of stories throughout the week of international LGBTI news and current affairs. So like us on Facebook and you can get all these things. We've just posted there the place where you can get tickets to the show we've mentioned tonight. The other thing that went up in the week, I don't know if you saw this, Paul, but the new Pride Centre have announced the builder. So they're actually starting construction of Australia's first Pride Centre, which will be down at St Kilda. And they did this cool, super cool little animation that shows how they're going to build and transform this this building. We've posted that on our Facebook page. Well worth a watch. Very exciting. It's going to be Joy's new home when it's built.
On Fitzroy Street.
Right past where the Pride March goes.
And sort of opposite the Gatwick, if people know where that is.
That's the one. I think everybody knows the ghetto. And speaking of Pride March, Midsummer Pride March coming up. That's Sunday the 3rd of February. Don't forget it's a bit earlier this year. So
did you
need
go to Carnival?
Earlier.
I went to Carnival.
Went to Carnival. Did you enjoy it?
I did. It was a bit hot.
Just
a bit crowded.
It wasn't half as hot as last year, but a fantastic event. Great to see everybody out there. Good weather. Lots of excitement and lots of chances to see so many things happening. This is just, you know, party central. In fact, the first 3 months of the year between Midsummer, Mardi Gras, Melbourne Queer Film Festival, all the other things. It's a great time to be a part of Queer Melbourne. So, log on to our Facebook page, like us. We'll keep you up to date throughout the year. A big thank you to our guests tonight, Aslan and James from the Midsummer Show, Queer Asians Anonymous. As we said, it's the 4th to the 9th of Feb. Get your tickets now at midsummer.org.au. On Facebook, Kevin, Trent, Phil, Margaret, Richard and a heap more who've joined and interacted with us on Facebook. Thank you very much. As to Alex, our podcaster, and Dean, our social media master.
I think
we would like some more music. What have you got?
I've got Melissa. Now, Melissa was on X Factor, I think, or The Voice, or one of those.
I don't do any reality show.
You really must get up with the the youngsters. She won, and this is a song, Stand By You.
By me?
By her.
Oh, okay. We'll catch you next week on World Wide Wave.
The hurt in your eyes will never disguise the spark that lived there before. And I know that you're so much more than you're showing. The clouds in your hair will bring you to tears, but I will catch every drop, even if it don't ever stop. 'Cause you're worth it, you're worth it. We fight together, I'll stand by.
Thanks for listening to another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe, one country at a time. Worldwide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 Eastern Australia time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.